Chock Full of Spiders for August 2nd, 2012. It's Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Kevin.
I have my mouth full of juice.
What kind of juice?
It's not actually juice. It's juice of the extremely fake chemical bottle.
It's ice juice mixed with chemicals juice.
Yeah, it's carbon dioxide juice and some, you know, water juice and some chemicals.
Welcome to Video Games Hot Dog, where we discuss Riff's juice.
Yes.
Have you been juicing a lot, Riff?
What?
Have you been juicing a lot, like your pecs and stuff?
Carrots and pecs, mostly. Pectorines are a thing, right?
Isn't that what people say in like crowd scenes? Carrots and pecs and carrots and pecs.
Peccary juice.
What? What is a peccary?
I think of it as like a little pig.
Oh, I was imagining, I guess, like a little parrot.
Like a javelina. I don't know, maybe a
like bit. Half pig, half parrot?
Peccary, it's like half canary, half dick.
Isn't a javelina like a small spear?
A small boat.
Yeah, it's a junk. No, a javelina is like a little rat that looks like a little pig.
I see.
And what, they run around, and sometimes they get angry if you stand in between them and their babies.
Huh.
Okay.
Happens with a lot of stuff. Yeah. Anyway, it's Video Games Hot Dog. What have you guys been up to since the last Video Games Hot Dog, which was only a week ago, but it seems like forever.
Not much. I shoveled about 12 garbage bags worth of trash out of my bedroom.
How do you accumulate that much stuff in your bedroom?
Did you ever see Riff's toilet? The toilet itself isn't really a problem, but next to the toilet is a mountain of toilet paper tubes.
It's a wastebasket full of toilet paper tubes.
Well, it's a wastebasket full surrounded by another 3 or 4 wastebaskets worth of buttresses.
Oh, you are super exaggerating.
I mean, what do you bring
there was
into
not more
your,
than one
to your
trash
bedroom
bag
that, that requires being thrown away that even after a year or two would accumulate to multiple trash bags worth of stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't explain it.
I end up with a lot of recycling in my bedroom because I drink a lot of bottles and cans of beer in there, and I open a lot of Amazon boxes in there. But
it might be that they were just very inefficiently packed bags because I guess there was
one item per bag.
Well, there were a lot of like cereal boxes, and I didn't flatten
them. Cereal boxes? Seriously? What?
So, eating cereal directly out of the box. B, eating cereal directly out of the box in bed?
Yeah.
Yep.
Or do you have some weird Rice Krispies fetish?
I mean, it's like shredded wheat, so they're not little tiny bits like a box of Rice Krispies would be.
Or Fruity Pebbles.
They're reasonable snack foods.
No.
Yes.
No.
I disagree with you then.
Okay. And, so, Casey, wake up every once in a while. You wake up in the middle of the night, and instead of reaching for a bottle of water or a glass of water like a normal person would, or getting up to pee, you wake up. Ugh, fuck, shredded wheat.
Because then I'd have to go brush my teeth again, and that's a drag.
Why do you eat shredded wheat in the bedroom?
Because that's where I'm like reading comic books.
Okay. Kevin, what did you haul out of your bedroom this weekend?
Well, I hauled the new copy of Dominant Species out of my bedroom and played it with some people.
Did you win? Yeah, I did.
Pretty seriously, actually. It was like 260 points to the next closest person.
Oh, my God.
Like 150. Yeah.
Yeah, this is why it's no fun to play board games with Kevin.
It was pretty brutal.
You're pretty good at systems, buddy.
No, yeah. I mean, I had played before, they hadn't. Melissa is pretty excited about playing it a second time. She wants to play like a two-player game, and I'm not sure how that's gonna feel, because everything you do is just directly fucking with your...
She wants to play a two-player game where you control one of the species, she controls the remaining 5 species, and all of her points are accumulated between her characters and pitted against yours.
Uh-huh. You know, it might be an interesting project for you, Kevin, if you ever again have free time, would be to design a board game that would be, you know, satisfying in that it's not absolutely random, but that other people could potentially win against you while playing it.
If I play versus like Nightmare, like Dave, like he's pretty consistently beaten me at various board games. He also plays to win.
Dave is also like
he
a
plays
board
like
game
an asshole,
expert.
And you play like a robot. So what we need is somebody who plays like a robot's asshole. Who will defeat both of you.
Cereal port.
They filled with extrude oil and other robot waste.
That's very crude oil.
I get cereal port. Yeah. I get it.
Wow.
Okay.
I also played Game of Dominion, which is cool. I really like the deck building games. Those are pretty great. And then I played a board game called Tsuro. Have you guys ever heard of this? Tsuro, T-S, I think it's T-S-U-R-O.
Oh, I have heard that name. I can't picture what game it is. I don't think I've played it.
It's very, very simple. It's like a grid, and everybody has a piece, and you start by placing your piece on the external border of the grid, and then everybody takes turn placing tiles, which are sort of look like kind of randomized paths. And every tile has like, each side has two entrances and two exits, but they're sort of almost randomly connected with the tiles. And then if you run into another player's piece, or if you run off the edge of the board, you lose. And so it's like trying to build a path. And each time you like place a tile, you have to follow the path that you're on to its end point. And so it's like a little bit of strategy and a little bit of sort of dealing with other people's stuff and trying to think ahead. But it's neat. It's like extremely simple to explain, but with a bit of actual sort of strategic gameplay in it, board game.
Is it similar to the board game based on Tetsuo the Iron Man, where one player is shiny metal and the other player is rusty metal, and the goal is to build a giant dick?
It might be. It might be similar to that. I feel like in both pieces,
penis drill.
You're laying stuff out each turn. Yeah.
We should play that version of Galaxy Trucker where all the ships are shaped like dicks.
they kind of end up being shaped like dicks anyway.
The Iron Man again. That's a pretty great movie.
Maybe like your dick, you weirdo. Oh yeah, my only body modification is that I had my dick surgically altered to look like the Starship Enterprise.
You don't have nacelles off to the side? How do you achieve warp speed?
Yeah. That's always the complaint.
Yeah.
Need to back it down to impulse power, buddy.
I went back to that speakeasy, the Violet Hour in Chicago. It is just fucking awesome. It is so good.
So what, in modern terms, what's the difference between a speakeasy and a bar?
Speakeasies have the, this is kind of like a pretension point, I guess. They pretend not to exist. Like this one, it's just a wall with like some graffiti on it, and you have to know that there's a door there, and you go in.
Okay, so like that place in San Diego that you have to text ahead, and it's got a secret door.
Right. So that like that's okay. That's an
the best ones. You actually have to have a special piece of chalk that you use to draw a door on the wall. That's why Beetlejuice is always drunk.
Yeah. The cocktails are expensive, but fucking delicious. Like they are just so all of them are good. And then we got like the olive plate when we were there, and it was like I'm pretty sure they are olives that they made themselves. They like I've never had olives where I could like taste.
Only God
do you mean
can
like,
make an
yeah,
olive.
Do you mean
pickling.
Grew?
No, they're like raisins before they're olives, right? Like you have to convert them into olives.
Yeah, they're inflated. An olive is just an inflated raisin.
Yeah.
Or do they have one of those machines that, like, Man-at-Arms had in that one episode of Masters of the Universe where he takes garbage and then turns it into garbage-flavored food?
Garbage-flavored food?
Yeah, it was just a cookie cutter.
Huh.
Nice. Like, Man-at-Arms, sometimes your inventions really suck.
Man-at-Arms is kind of... I can't really say the worst character, but sort of the lamest character.
I don't know. He invented things and had a cool mustache.
A good mustache.
What more do you want?
I guess. Yeah. Okay.
But
I'll
in short,
mustache.
I'm excited for your eventual visit to this great city. And the other thing that we did, we went to go see the Neo Futurists and their performance of Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind.
Is that the one where they roll the dice to determine what skit they're going
to
do?
No. They roll a dice to determine the price to get in, and they roll a die at the very end of the show to determine how many new plays they're going to write for next week.
Of the plays are super office stress.
Yeah, they do 30 plays in 60 minutes, and it's just great. I've been like 3 or 4 times at this point, and every time has been phenomenal.
And it's a different show every time, right?
Because yeah, it's a totally different time, totally different show each time. I'm building up an itinerary for your future visit to this city, I think.
All right. I wandered around San Francisco a little bit. I went to California Extreme, the arcade and pinball game convention this weekend, and it was pretty good. The trip home was fraught with peril. I wanted to buy some arcade cabinets, and so I came up with the dumbest possible plan. Everybody said, you should just fly out there and rent a U-Haul to come back, and I said, no, I don't like airplane, and so I'm not going to do that. And so I drove my car out, and then I got the U-Haul, and then loaded it up with video games, and then drove back towing my car. We got started really late because apparently what U-Haul does is you reserve some equipment, and then they just, like, they write your reservation down on a sheet of paper and then throw that sheet of paper into the garbage.
Yeah, I've had that happen
I saw them give away somebody else's truck. They were like, somebody came in and was like, hey, do you guys have a 10-foot van for rent? And they said, well, there's one that a guy was supposed to pick up at 9, but it's 10, so I guess he is not coming. You can have that one.
Whoa.
And I was if you miss your reservation time, I think that's totally reasonable.
By an hour, though?
Yeah.
I was an hour late.
Well,
lucky
then
they had my truck. Anyway, we went back to pick up the thing to tow my car, and they didn't have one, so they had to send us to another place to get that one. And then those people didn't know what I was... Those people thought that I was trying to rent a trailer to tow behind my car, which doesn't even have a bumper anymore. Although it did at that time. Then we were towing my car behind the U-Haul, and one of my tires blew out, and we didn't notice it for a long time until somebody pulled up beside us and, like, did that, like, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles thing where they're like, you're going the wrong way! Except what they said was, your tire is all fucked up! And it had just shredded, and little bits of flying rubber had, like, just destroyed my bumper and scraped all the paint off around the wheel well. My car is all old and busted now.
Wow, that
I don't
blows,
even like
man.
It anymore. I was like, fuck you, car.
Get ruined and stuff, too? Or
I probably don't know, man. Probably. It's probably already ruined because mostly what I do in that car is just back into curbs.
I mean, it doesn't take long driving on a busted tire to fuck up the rim.
At one point when we were driving into San Francisco looking for a parking space, we saw one that I was like, oh, man, I don't want to have to parallel park, but I guess I'll do it. And then when we pulled up next to that parking spot, there was just a toilet sitting in it, just a full-size toilet. And that was one of three toilets that we saw on the street or sidewalk on that trip. Yeah. The first one, it was just two urinals standing on the sidewalk, like on their backs. And I was like, oh, it's a Duchamp exhibit. But it turned out not to be. Yeah, so that was good. I played some video games at California Extreme, and rather than writing them down, rather than being the nerd at the video game show with a pen and paper, I took some pictures so that they would hopefully trigger anecdotes that I could tell you guys about.
Okay.
So let me go through them. Picture number one was just a picture of a bunch of pinball machines because my girlfriend asked me if they had any pinball machines there, and I said, "Do they ever?" Okay, so I took a video of the intro of this game that I had never seen before, and I don't know if this is a real thing or not, like if it was ever released, but it was a Tron conversion. Like, there was a Tron cabinet. I talked to the guy that sold the guy this Tron cabinet to convert to this game, Nightmare, which in the intro, let me actually, like, play this video. I hope that this doesn't, like, produce a bunch of sound. It's going to. It's just a bunch of ambient noise from... So psychophysicist Dr. John Roldar seeks to control the power of the mind. Success! And then he gets imprisoned in the Vault of Chaos. His name is Roldar, R-O-L-D-A-R-R, which I kind of want to... I wish that I had a doctor named Roldar.
Dr. Roldar?
I wish I had a psychophysicist at my disposal. Yeah. What does that even mean? But anyway, and then it talks about how enemies are born over boiling muck. Okay. and you run around. You're like a face with a yellow line, like a yellow, like, I don't know, a 10-sided solid or a 10-sided polygon around you, and there's a spot on it out of which you're shooting, which the Tron knob controls the direction of. The trigger shoots, and the stick moves around like Tron. And yeah, there's some parts of the muck will boil, and then it will spawn some enemies. In phase two, they're all bones flying after you. In the first one, they're like eyes and maybe some skulls and then some just blobs of acid that are shuffling after you. It wasn't great. It was not nearly as good as Tron, but it was interesting. They actually had a bunch of weird prototype or unreleased arcade games there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one there was a guy who apparently at some point just bought out everything that was in Atari's offices after Atari was closed down. And so one of the things that happened, I guess, for the first time at this one is they had put together a working Missile Command 2 cabinet, which was like a cocktail table with a trackball and a button on either side. And it was like Missile Command, except you had a row of cities on either. So like you each had a row of cities, and the enemies all flew through in the middle. And you could either fight the enemies or you could shoot missiles at each other's cities.
Oh, wow.
So the goal was just to be the last one surviving, or...
Well, I don't know, because you still get to keep playing after all of your cities are gone, so maybe it was supposed to be cooperative. But,
oh, interesting.
I mean, it was also, you know, it was very unfinished, so it's sort of hard to say, like, you know, maybe this never got released because nobody could figure out what they were supposed to do. There was also Marble Man, which was the sequel to Marble Madness. Huh. And it was like Marble Madness, except... it was a three-player game with only two sets of controls. So if you accidentally started a three-player game, like, you'd win the race and then just have to wait for the third guy to time out, which was a little boring. But the marbles had faces on them. They were little smiling mans. There
Did
was one
have
level called
sweet
the,
music, like the Marble Madness?
I don't remember if there was music or not. There was one, we played the sandbox level, which we were thinking, you know, maybe there would be a bunch of emergent gameplay systems, but no, it's just sand. And then rolling on the sand totally sucked. And every once in a while, there was a bucket that would... I think the bucket also had a face on it. And it would be like, I'm going to land on you. And then you died.
Rolling a marble through sand is not something that kind of works, right?
Yeah.
So that seems like a terrible idea for a Marble Madness level.
There was also a game that I don't know that this was a real thing or not called Boxing Bugs. I mean, I guess it's real. It seemed to have legitimate art on the cabinet, but it was not a game that I had ever seen before, where you had like this, it was a vector game, and you had this octagon that you were inside, and you were a thing that was like a boxing glove that shot missiles out of the back of it, and so you had two buttons, one to shoot a missile and one to extend the boxing glove, and there were these bugs flying around, and then you had a knob to rotate your guy. You were confined to the center of the screen, and there were bugs and bombs, and the bugs would push the bombs up against your fortress to blow away one of the walls so that they could get in and eat you, I guess. So you're just punching bugs, and you had to shoot the bombs with missiles because you couldn't punch the bombs for whatever reason. So yeah, that was pretty okay. Let's see. Next picture. There was a game that I had never seen before called Sparks, S-P-A-R-K-Z, which, you
Isn't
know, like...
Isn't that the, a, like a...
Yeah, it's like a malt liquor energy drink. Yeah, it's pretty good. So it's like kind of a cross between Pipe Dream and Tetris, where pieces will fall from the top and you can rotate them, and you're trying to connect the left side to the right side in as short a circuits as possible to make a lady robot. So at some point you make five sparks to build the chest, and then you can give her either silver boobs or gold boobs depending on how long your sparks were. Or you could play it against each other. It got really hard in a hurry. So then there was
no
a,
did it.
Yeah. Oh, there was a Tempest cabinet, and this was funny. It said on the, it was for sale for $1,500, and it said never operated. And what that means, I guess, in this parlance, is that it was never actually in an arcade, right? Like the arcades were referred to as operators in that sort of ecosystem.
I gotcha.
And so this was never in an arcade. But what I read it as was this is like literally never worked even once. That'll be $1,500. But then it was later on, it was turned on and it was working, except that you and all of the enemies were invisible. So you could play the game, you just couldn't see yourself or any of the enemies. You could see the environmental hazards, like the spikes that grow up.
That's crazy. How does that even happen?
I don't know. It was super weird. Yeah. And I managed to get to like level 6 without being able to see anything because the first few levels of Tempest are pretty easy, and also a lot of the time you can win just by like spinning the thing and holding down the shoot button.
Yeah.
Right. And like the faster you're moving, maybe the more likely you are to avoid those things when they get outside and start flopping along. Man, Tempest is a good game.
Yeah.
Then I played a game called Black Widow that I had never heard of before,
heard of that. That's a Tempest-like one, isn't
it? Yeah, sort of. I don't know that it really matters that it looks like Tempest. You're a spider, and there's a web, and on later levels, you get this sort of weird dynamic where there are walls that you can't go through, but enemies can, and then there are walls that enemies can't go through, but you can. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of an interesting conceit.
That actually
it also gives you the advice in attract mode. Tag grubstakes for points. So, okay.
Tag grubstakes was my favorite character in the Star Wars Extended Universe.
So then let's see. I played some games with... I think I took pictures of these just because the controls were bad. You'll occasionally get that old school joystick where it's just like... It's like just a post that's sort of got like a, you know, like a nubbled metal pattern on it. So it's really high friction, but hurts to touch. And I'm trying to think of some common object that is textured like this. So you'd know what I was talking about. But they don't really move like a joystick that you're used to. It's just that like pushing it in one direction triggers that direction and it kind of flexes a little bit. It was all in old stuff that had this.
I mean, like the really old school Atari joysticks or something else entirely?
No, not even as good in terms of feedback as that was. It's because
I felt
sort
like those
hard.
Were pretty
yeah,
hard.
Yeah, they were pretty
sometimes.
They were pretty stiff. Yeah. Okay, and then there was a game called Wacko that I had never seen before, and this was the cabinet was weird. Like the rectangle on top where the like banner for the game is. And the surface that the controls were on was tilted at maybe a 15-degree angle. So it was just like a really strange-looking cabinet. And the controls were... It was like a twin-stick shooter, except it was a trackball and a joystick on either side of it. And so you had to use the trackball to move and the joystick to shoot. And every person that I saw playing it, including me, you'd start out like... with it, your hands in one configuration and then try to switch to another one, and then when that didn't work you try to switch to another one, and then finally it was like ah, and then you would give up. The gameplay, you were like a little dude in a UFO and you could shoot in all directions, and there were these enemies that came in pairs. Like a given level would have like 10 enemies and they would be two each of five different like movie monster looking things. And shooting them just stunned them, but when you stunned each of the pair at the same time, they would disappear.
Huh, okay.
So it was, I'd never seen anything that worked like that before. Actually, Space Dungeon was pretty cool, too. This was a game from, like, 81, I think, and it was kind of surprising in that it had a 5x5 map of rooms, and they were all connected, like, there were no walls on the outside, but it would sort of randomly carve holes in the wall, but going through it didn't necessarily correspond on the other side, and it would change from visit to the same room, so it wasn't really a persistent map, but you'd go around shooting dudes and collecting these treasures, but if you got killed, it would shit out all of your treasures that you were carrying into the room that you got killed in, so you could go back and get them, and you could like leave and go to the next level whenever you wanted by going through the exit, but you only got points for the number of treasures that you were carrying.
Okay.
It was actually pretty cool. It wasn't really dungeon themed. I mean, it was more like
space.
Space themed. You were shooting lasers.
A grid of rooms is a dungeon, right?
I don't know that that's really true. Would you call a hotel a dungeon?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then, yes. Let's see. I took another picture of that Sparks, so I would especially remember. Okay. I found the best pinball machine. It was called Heavy Metal Meltdown, and it was not that remarkable in terms of its gameplay, except that all of the sound effects were different, like wheedly 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 and doodly doodly doo. So it was just playing an extremely annoying, randomly generated guitar solo the entire time that you were playing it. And it had two sets of buttons on the sides. And I was like, huh, what's this about? Is this a complicated gameplay thing? But it turned out that two of the buttons were for the left and right flippers. And then one of them would make a guy yell, heavy! And the other one would make a guy yell, metal! And when there was waiting for you to shoot, the buttons weren't always hooked up. But when you had your ball ready to like hit the plunger and shoot it, you could just arbitrarily heavy, 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 metal, 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 just over and over, and it was turned up really loud. Like,
that's kind of
this.
Awesome.
This is the best thing since that pinball machine that would just play. It would like hack into a nearby jukebox and make it play the Ghostbusters song 40 times in a row. So that was a pretty good pinball machine. And then I noticed in playing that kind of shitty Superman game where you're sort of flying around and punching and kicking, and then there are levels where you're flying like you're a space Superman shooting eye beams. What's weird is that you are shooting beams out of your eyes and also shooting the eye beams of skyscrapers that get into your way. Oh. But one of the buildings that you walked past in the in San Francisco, it says you're in San Francisco, and so it just, there are all these random like sort of scenery objects that pass behind you, including this one building just labeled Cold Meat. It's pretty good. There was a game called, I think, Dragon Master, where the art on the top of the cabinet was just like a kind of a Napoleon Dynamite style pencil drawing of a dragon, and then the gameplay was, the only enemies were these worm sort of things that were just like a little line of colored pixels that would kind of crawl around the screen. And in some of the levels, you're flying around on a, you're a wizard flying around on a dragon, and you have a button to shoot a fireball to the left and one to shoot one to the right. And there's dwarves walking from the left edge of the screen to the right on the bottom to try to get into the mine. And then you protect them. And then the next level is you go into the mine and your dwarves are randomly digging tunnels, and you're hoping that those tunnels will make it to the treasure chests. But you're having to run around in this constrained space trying to shoot other fireballs at the exact same worms that are trying to kill your dwarves. But when all your dwarves get killed, it shows a cutscene of you flying away on your dragon, and it says, "All the dwarves are lost. Fly through space to a new planet." It's the only thing you can do. I played a really awesome pinball machine that I'd never seen before called the Champion Pub, which it's got like this big... shopping bag. It's got a shopping cart in the middle of it. It's got a punching bag in the middle of it and a couple little ramps that make it so you like hit the ball and it flies up the ramp and hits the punching bag. And you do that and you're sort of training for a fight. And then once you initiate a fight, it'll turn around and on the other side of the punching bag, there's like this sort of fat guy with a mustache and two big arms with fists kind of making like punching motions. And you can hit him in the face or you can hit him in the gut. And they're all, like, you slowly work your way through, like, you know, racist stereotype, the Irish boxer. And I forget what the Russian one was, like, not quite as bad as Vodka Drunkinsky, but it was pretty close. But it had these two, like, little mini games that you could get the ball into, where one of them was, like, a jump rope to increase your fighting skills. And the ball was, like, sitting on a little pad. And this metal bar would rotate around progressively faster, and you would hit one of the flipper buttons to make the ball jump, just Whoa. Jump up in place. And the bar would knock the thing off and make it drain back down onto the table. But like you could be pretty good at it and just get a whole bunch of points by playing this little jumping game. And then there was another one in the other, like the opposite corner of the board that I only made it to once and immediately lost. But it has another set of flippers that are little fists and then like a little speed punching bag at the top. And so I guess the idea is that you're just supposed to like bounce the ball against that thing as many times as you can before it falls between the fists. It's one of those, like, I feel like the cooler a pinball machine is, the more likely it is to be broken.
Yeah.
Because it's got weird gimmicky
parts. Yeah, and stuff. Mechanisms that are non-standard or whatever. Yeah.
And then we went for a walk in Golden Gate Park. And I know this because my next picture is a Dutch windmill. Yeah, that was the stuff that it was of particular interest at California
is
Extreme.
Dutch windmill, a euphemism
cool.
for something?
I may have to go with you next year.
Yeah, I gave her a Dutch windmill. We met this girl in Golden Gate Park, and because everybody's so friendly, she just let me give her a Dutch windmill.
Mm.
What about you, Riff? Nice. You been playing any video games?
Yeah, I played a few. I finished McPixel, which is awesome. And I played some more of Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy, which... I'm getting into it a little bit more. The RPG elements are pretty compelling. And
is that McPixel has like a editing mode now where people can make their own.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Kicking dudes in the balls. Have you made anything?
No, I just read his little FAQ about how the engine works, and it's kind of interesting. Let's see, what else have I been doing? Oh, I played some of Valley Without Wind, which is the opposite of compelling.
It sounds very much like a game from the 1930s.
Yeah, or a Miyazaki tie-in.
Okay, sure,
but
sure.
No. What else did I play?
Oh, I used some Miyazaki tie-ins to secure the video game cabinets that I bought in the back of the
U-Haul. The big thing that I played is it occurred to me while playing Theater Rhythm that Final Fantasy XIII was the only main series Final Fantasy game that I'd never even tried, and they had that and the sequel Final Fantasy XIII-2 on Amazon for like $20 each. So
like the Final Fantasy game that in order to do damage you have to write queries.
Yes, that's the my so, sequel.
Yeah. Insert damage into goblin.
Goblin. Yeah. So yeah, I picked those up and started playing Final Fantasy XIII, and it's okay. It's extraordinarily beautiful. It looks just fantastic.
Like a shitty Japanese movie about some shit you don't care about.
Well, like a really good looking Japanese 3D animated movie about some shit that you don't care about.
Okay.
Or more realistically, some shit that you can't figure out what the hell is going on.
Yeah, what's the story about? Do you have any idea?
Oh my, no. It's something about there's this planet that's hollow and everybody lives inside, and there's another planet nearby that's maybe all monsters, and some kind of psychic monster came to the hollow planet, which is where good people live, and they are cursing the people so that once you've been cursed by these things, you become a lassie. And if you are a lassie, then you have some sort of special task that you don't necessarily even know what it is. And if you are successful in this task, then you will turn into solid crystal and just be a rock. And if you fail at this task, you will turn into a horrible, ugly zombie.
But they don't tell you what the task is?
No, you get like some very vague like dream vision of, and then are forced to figure it out on your own. And so the plot is...
The idea is that you want to become the crystal?
No, well, the crystal is apparently better than being the zombie, I guess.
Okay.
it's not clear why. But the two of the main characters, one of them is the sister of a lassie that has turned into crystal, and the other guy is like the fiancé of this same girl, and they have been lassieified, and I guess I don't know what the hell is going on, but it looks fantastic.
And the gameplay is just the regular crap that Kevin hates.
Yeah, pretty much. It's more fast paced. It doesn't pause for you to take your turn. You've got like a
that
meter
might be
that
slightly
goes up.
Better, I guess.
Yeah, you've got like a meter that fills up gradually, well, fairly quickly actually, and you have a number of slots in that meter that, and each slot can take a particular attack, or very good attacks might take more than one slot, and so you tap through the menus to queue up a bunch of actions, and then when your meter is filled, your character does whatever actions you have queued up. And you only have control over your one main character, and the others are all AI motivated. And how can I explain this without it being really dull and weird? Basically, every character has two or three different roles that they can do, and you can create a set, which is character A will be in role X and character B will be in role Y. And then those sets sit in a menu on your left trigger so that anytime during the fight, you can switch everybody to a different set of roles. So you start out with like everybody, all the AI guys attack whatever monster I attack. And then if you start getting into bad situations, you can flip over to another set of roles where one of your characters is tanking and the other one is healing. And then once everybody's healed up,
but you have
up,
to
you
switch everybody's modes at the same time? Like all you have is like aggressive or defensive for the entire other...
Yes.
The entire rest of the party? That seems deeply dissatisfying.
You can't go in and individually choose everybody's individual jobs on the fly. I guess if you really wanted to, you could create every possible combination for your list.
You can make like custom.
Yeah, but okay. But
well, then, that's a little better.
Yeah, but it would be a huge pain in the ass to.
How many dudes do you have, and how many do you take with you?
I currently have 5 dudes. I have not yet unlocked the ability to change my party configuration. So I've got the 3 dudes that I've been given, and the 2 more that are following along behind and doing nothing. But everybody seems to be earning experience at the same rate.
Do they like hang out during battles and like cheer for you and stuff?
They don't even appear on the screen during battles, but they do trail along behind when everybody's running down a corridor. That is the other dissatisfying thing about this game is there has been basically no exploration. The game is entirely fights and cutscenes. And sometimes there is a corridor that you run down to get to the next fighter cutscene.
There are no random encounters, though?
No, you see them all on the map. And if you're clever enough in your running that you can run up and tackle a dude before dudes see you, then you get an initiative bonus.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, mechanically and gameplay-wise, it's sort of ho-hum, but...
It's got that great story that you have no idea what the fuck.
I'm not sure what's going on, but it's intriguing, and I kind of want to know some more and try and figure it out and see what happens. And it looks awesome. And I've heard that the sequel is better in like every failed respect.
So you just need to put the 900 hours into the first one that it'll take to beat it, and then you can play the
except
sequel.
It's probably. Given that there's basically no random exploration or side quests yet, it's probably not all that long. Although I've heard it opens up more like halfway or 2/3 of the way through. So I guess we'll see how it goes.
I mean, they have to eventually give you the opportunity to get Ruby Weapon.
Yeah, right? Or breed a chocobo. there's so far I've only seen 1 chocobo in this game. It is a ridiculously cute little baby chocobo. And it is the pet of the comic relief black guy character. It lives in his afro.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that was weird.
What kind of jokes does the comic relief black guy make?
He just has that sort of, he's the guy that isn't really sure that he should be here doing this with these crazy people, and he's getting too old for this.
Sometimes he just says, shit. Stuff like that.
He hasn't yet, but yeah, that seems like something he could probably say.
He's like the black kid in Not Another Teen Movie.
I never saw that. Yeah. I managed to successfully avoid all of the Not Another movies.
Oh, come on. All the scary movies were pretty good.
Mm.
There's the one guy that's high all the time. That's his thing.
Great.
Can't beat a character like that.
I think that is all that I play. No
Minecraft?
I have played, a few minutes of Minecraft since the patch came out. It seems pretty cool.
You wrote a book.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I did. I combined a book with a feather and a sack of squid ink to make a writable book, which I then wrote into it, fart, 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 fart. And then I signed it with my name and sold it to a villager for 1 emerald.
Well, did you title the book?
I think I just titled it Fart.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Pretty good title. Doesn't leave a whole lot to the imagination. I mean, I wonder what this book is about.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Sorry.
Can you put in blank? I mean, could you put fart 4 times on the first page and then 48 blank pages? And
oh,
then
I bet you
fart
could
at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The butler.
This
did
is
it.
Like a good opportunity to. The butler is the one who smelt it.
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I guess the adventure mode stuff adds some like controllable blocks that'll make it so you can really make a game for somebody to play within Minecraft. There's
which
some
is interesting.
Some logic.
It's apparently still in like real early alpha. I wouldn't expect it to be very interesting yet, but they're definitely
I thought those controller blocks were actually in the most recent update.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know anything about them. I only just like today found out that controller blocks was a thing. I didn't know it was in the new update yet.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I assumed it was a thing for 1.4.
I don't even know. I guess I should go play on our server again.
Mm.
Try to finish my sweet wizard castle.
Nightmare's moving along with the sweet-ass nether subway.
Like a place where you can go get sandwiches?
Yeah. nether sandwiches. I don't think you want those sandwiches, man.
Yeah, I think those grub mushrooms grow down there.
Grub
you could,
steak.
You could tap some grub steaks steak for sandwiches. Points. Yeah. Tapping a grub, like a grub steak, is just a sixth kind of land in magic. Like meat mana. What the fuck is a grub steak?
Just steak, just a big slab of grub. Do you just get a big grub and slice a slice a circle off?
I hadn't
of
thought
it,
about like a beef steak or a halibut steak or something. Mm. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that is it. And that seems like something a spider would enjoy.
Mm.
Yeah,
grubs have those like ridges on them, so you know exactly where to slice,
like ruffles.
Yeah, portion control.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever eat a grub?
No.
No, like they're a delicacy in some.
I've heard that.
Species.
Yeah, I don't know. Things like ants and crickets.
Seems like they'd be pretty good.
I couldn't do it. It would make me freak out.
You never ate like a chocolate-covered grasshopper?
No.
There are like a bunch of bugs in this Chicago apartment, and I don't think I'd want to eat any of them.
Yeah. You see like there's novelty lollipops with scorpions in them. Do people like eat the scorpion?
I don't know. I saw a guy eat a scorpion at my house once. Ugh. He just killed. He picked it off the ground. He like used his beer bottle to break its stinger off, and then just picked it up and ate it while it was still alive.
Oh Jesus!
It was gross.
That's gross.
Horrible.
Yeah. I don't know. He says they're good. What about you, Kevin? Have you eaten any bugs?
No. There was a gigantic. Daddy long legs spider though on the wall, like it was, I would say 3 or 4 inches, 3.5-4 inches across from side to side. It's kind of nuts. I've never seen a daddy long legs.
I assume
before.
Including the legs, that's not just the body size.
Yeah, that was, the body was super small. The legs were enormous.
Yeah, I was going to say, daddy long legs with a 3 or 4 inch body, that would be like, dang.
Terrifying.
That would be about as big as you.
Yeah.
Once when my dad and I first moved to Arizona, and my mom had not yet gotten a job and joined us yet, we were sleeping in this new house that we were renting that was just filled with daddy long legs for some reason, and we were just sleeping on sleeping bags on the floor, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and my eyes shot open, and I'm like, something's wrong, what's going on? Why is my vision all weird? And it was because there was a daddy long legs like on my eye, just sitting, like all around
God.
My eye, like I had a sweet daddy long legs monocle.
Whoa!
I wish I could have like trained it
awful.
To stay there.
Terrifying.
I mean, they're harmless. That you know, according to shit that kids make up, daddy long legs are actually extremely venomous. It's just that their mouths are too small to bite you, so you never have to worry about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You been playing any video games, Kevin?
Not really. I played, I guess, that iPhone game, 100 Floors, finally came out with its last set of levels, and so it goes from 1 to 100 now, and I spent a little time sort of trying to solve those puzzles or whatever, but that is about it. I played this game called Bad Part of Speech Report for a while.
But, oh, is that the sequel to Bad Dudes?
Yeah. It's okay.
Bad Part of Speech Report versus Dragon Ninja.
It's one of those things. It's a game you can sort of play when your brain isn't too tired to work on anything else. So
the boss of level one is actually Karnov, and you have to figure out if Karnov is a verb or an adjective.
Yeah.
Dude, I totally Karnov'd that girl. What would that even be? Like you. You were too fat to have sex with her, so you just set her on fire.
And then pushed her down the stairs.
Yeah, there you go. that's Kevin's way of saying that Kevin has been working a lot on the soon-to-be-hit video game Word Realms.
Word Realms.
Sorry, soon-to-be-hit in the sense of, in the noun usage of hit, not the verb usage of hit.
Right.
But either one is a violent word.
That's true.
I'd hit it.
Is hit also an adjective? In a way, any noun
video game?
Can be. Oh yeah, no, I guess it's just normally like it is in actual common usage an adjective. Any noun can be used as an adjective, so that gets a little weird. But then some of them gain actual acceptance lexically as adjectives. I mean, because like you can say like this is a dirt bike. Mm. Right,
tractor
and
pull.
Dirt isn't, you know, this is a hit, doctor hit, bag.
Hit is not an adjective in the dictionary, so.
this is a shit satchel. and then shit becomes an adjective. Because it's not necessarily a shitty satchel. Like, this is a really good satchel. It's just for carrying shit.
Yes, or made out of shit.
It's a messenger bag. It's a bag made out of skinned messengers.
Oh.
They told me not to shoot him, and it was because they didn't want the bag to be leaky that we made out of his skin.
Shitty.
Hit is not an adjective in the dictionary. Yeah.
Shitty is an adjective, but shit is not so much in the dictionary, at least.
Well, no, I'm saying it wouldn't be because it is only an adjective in the sense that any noun can be used as an adjective.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah.
We've made some fart baloney.
Well, there's that. Did you guys see the Castle Story Kickstarter? Have you heard about that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I have played an early build of that game, and I don't remember when or where. Yeah, it was released publicly like months ago. But I don't remember where I found it or what. Yeah, I mean, I remember it being weird and you had to get dudes to, I don't know, go hit a rock and then build a castle. And there was nothing really to do with it in the build that I played. But yeah, I don't know. People are saying it's like Minecraft plus
RTS.
Oh, okay.
Apparently. It's.
Are you excited?
No, I'm not excited, but I think I will probably back their Kickstarter just to get the $15 like beta, forever access kind of thing.
You don't get a special kind of castle that only you can build?
No, I don't think you get anything special, really. I think you just get to play the game when it's like more finished than it is now.
You get Star Castle as an unlockable mini game. You get a... Every time I think of the word castle, I think of Scarecrow and Mrs. King for some reason.
Huh. That's weird, man.
Was there a show called Hardcastle and McCormick?
Yeah.
So that's why whenever I think of castle, I think of Hardcastle, and then I think of Hardcastle and McCormick, and then I think of Scarecrow and Mrs. King, but I don't say any of the intervening things. Okay. So I was like, oh, castle, huh? Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Hardcastle and McCormick and the Scarecrow and Mrs. King and Kate and Allie and Laverne and Shirley.
Okay.
I'm missing a couple.
The Fall Guy.
He didn't have an and, though.
Perfect Stranger and Balky. The Cosby End Show. was Fat Albert just called Fat Albert, or was it like...
It was Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids.
Okay, Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. So that does have an and in it. That's good. What about you, Kevin? You got any television shows with and in them?
No.
You're terrible at this game.
I am.
Or it could be that this is a terrible game. So yeah, you've just been working and not playing any video games. Is that?
That's more or less my story. I'm trying to think of like all my favorite TV shows, and they were all they all started with the letter A, but they were just single words.
Like Sanford and Son.
A-Team or Airwolf or Alf.
Airwolf and Friends.
Were Airwolf's friends just other helicopters?
Well, or I mean, that mountain was its friend.
I saw a dude wearing a Thundercats T-shirt. That was pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The logo.
I saw a lot of... There were a lot of nerd shirts in attendance at the California Extreme.
That is not surprising to me.
Surprising?
Yeah. No. A lot of dudes in T-shirts. A lot of balding dudes in hats. That was a thing that happened a lot, too. A lot of video games and pinball machines. Pretty good.
So what... Tell the listening public, what games you bought?
Oh yeah, I bought some arcade cabinets to go with the single Zybots machine that the company owned. I guess it was technically me that owned it, but I bought Rampart, which I'm totally stoked for you guys to all be in one place so that we can play some three player ass Rampart. ass is being used as an adjective in that phrase. And then I bought an upright Star Wars cabinet, which I'm pretty stoked about.
You say upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah.
I bought a
Citizen Kane cabinet. It's just like, it's got this, you hit a single button to drop a snow globe and then it's game over.
Rosebud.
Super snow globe dropper. So I bought APB, which is a pretty cool game about arresting and then beating confessions out of suspects. There's a little suspect beating minigame.
Did you like that game just because your dad was a police officer?
No, I like that game because it was awesome. But it could be. I mean, the reason that I thought it was awesome is because I love the Police.
Okay.
Josh accused me of being the only person that he knows that is capable of having sympathy for the man, and he thinks it's because I'm the boss of the company and I grew up around Police, and that's why I can have sympathy for both captains of industry, you know, like me, really the captain of an industry. I'm at least a major in the browser games industry. Then I bought a Neo Geo cabinet, which I'm pretty excited about. It's got like a Metal Slug. Something. It had a Metal Slug game and a Samurai Showdown game that I'd never seen or heard of before. But with those, it doesn't really matter what games are in it because it's all about the interchangeability.
Yeah.
And
I gotta get a Magician Lord.
Yeah, I gotta get Magician Lord. That's like the best kind of Lord that there is.
Yeah.
Get like a Rastan, like a Neo Geo port of Rastan.
Ooh.
That's just better. I don't think that's a real thing. Oh. It sucks. We get the Neo Geo guys to work on it. Just track them down. Hobble their legs. Say, all right, here's your typewriter. Make me a better version of Rastan. But that wasn't even one of our games. And we're super old and not good at anything anymore. That may not be true. I feel like they were still making Metal Slug games recently.
The typewriter is not one of his objections.
Yeah, well, he's in a lot of pain. So he's not exactly going in most objection order. He's like, if you're going to write code, you need to learn to sort better than that, buddy. And I'll know if you moved my turtle. Oh, also, I'm forcing him to program this game in Logo. So I'll know if you moved the turtle.
Pin up or pin down.
That I bought a game called Solar Fox that I could not for the entire weekend stop referring to as Star Fox because I just could never get it right. But yeah, Solar Fox is this game. It's from 83, I think, and it was a game that not a lot of people that I've spoken to have ever heard of. But it was one of my favorite games as a kid that they had in the arcade at the mall. I was told by their website that they had Blasteroids. That they were going to have Blasteroids at this thing, but then there was no Blasteroids, and I was kind of sad.
Oh.
Did you ever play Blasteroids?
Uh-uh.
It's a good game. It's like Asteroids, but with 16-bit era graphics and like a world map that you were sort of moving between different levels of increasing challenge, and you'd power up your dude and get extra guns, I guess.
Cool.
Stuff. Maybe there was another little dude that flew around. That was in that era where having a thing moving around you in a circle was pretty cool.
I mean, the hula great. Hoop.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it comes and goes, right? Like, it's having things moving around you in a circle being cool is like the tide.
Yeah.
It'll recede for a while, but then it comes back, and now, you know.
Yeah, I guess for like, a while, yo-yos are in.
Well, yeah, like, in the Middle Ages, there was the, you know, the ring around the rosy where all the kids would run around you in a circle, and then you would die.
Sure.
Okay, right. There's sometimes, like, when you're, like, a scuba diver will get, like, a pet shark that keeps going around in circles because if it doesn't, it will die.
Yeah.
Right.
And Victorian kids had that hoop that they'd roll along the ground.
But that didn't really go in a circle around them.
You might have had another kid inside the hoop.
Did you guys ever play that game when you were kids where you would get inside a tire and then have somebody push you down a hill?
No.
No, but it sounds pretty awesome.
This is a pretty good game.
Like a
I don't know
that
it was really a game.
I assume
there wasn't like
not
an objective
like a car tire.
Yeah, like some it's like or like eventually it would have to be like a tractor tire
because
you'd be like I'm too old for this shit. We need a bigger tire. So not like I'm afraid that I'm gonna get hurt because you will invariably roll me into a barbed wire fence or something.
I mean, there's those like human hamster balls. Or like the big like inflatable.
Yeah, this is just balls. Like a less safe version of that.
Yeah.
And you get out of it and you're just fucking filthy because you're like, you know how when you're changing a tire, every part of you that touched the tire is just gross and filthy. Well, this is like your entire body is like that. And then you get in trouble because your mom is like, you're wearing your best white suit. And she's like, yeah, I know. And it sucks. Why do you keep making me wear this? And people keep calling me Colonel Sanders and not letting me join any of their games except the tractor tire
game. I think that was mainly because of your weird little beard.
Yeah, so
you got promoted
weird, like,
from captain of industry though to be Colonel Sanders.
Like my weird cane wielding sociopath. I guess I read some stuff about how Colonel Sanders was really kind of a dick.
Oh really?
Yeah, and he looks like such a jolly guy.
He does.
He didn't have that southern hospitality.
Well, I think, but that was only if you weren't like on his shit list. Another case of shit being an adjective.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll take two cases of shit being an adjective. It's my favorite new saison. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty delicious. Let's take a break. Kevin, what's new?
You were right. Star Wars The Old Republic is going to go free to play. So apparently that just means you can play up to level 50, and then like some of the content is going to be behind like credits that you have to pay for, basically.
Yeah, like they've just got like a microtransaction currency that, from what I read, is cartel coins.
Yeah.
You know, I think that this is actually, I think starting out charging subscriptions and then moving to free to play is kind of the best of both worlds as a model for something like this, because like the early subscription revenue and box sales maybe funded the cost of development that they sunk, and then even if that declines, moving to free to play probably increases the amount of money that you get overall.
Yeah,
at least it has tended to for other games that have made the transition.
For big games, yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious what's going to happen with the Secret World, because they're already saying like, yeah, we will probably be free to play within a year or two, and It's like, you know, just deciding that at the outset seems like, you know, what does that do for your?
I feel like it's a good move to bolster the community, and if the game is more fun to play because there are a bunch of people around, I think that sort of is a self-stoking cycle, right?
Secret World seems like they're really firm on that, like, steady, regular new content releases the same way City of Heroes does. And City of Heroes is mainly still going due to free-to-play.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, if in the cash shop, if I could play Star Wars The Old Republic, and for the cost of what I'm currently paying for a subscription, even though I'm not playing it, I could buy some potions, or, you know, I mean, space potions or whatever, some Jedi juice that would make
blue
it
milk.
So I earned experience at three times the normal rate. I would play...
Would you want that?
Absolutely. Because the reason that I played one class from 0 to 50, and I was like, you know, that was pretty good. But to play another class from 0 to 50, only a third of what I was doing would actually be new content.
Right.
You know, unless I did like a Sith side one, which I would. But even then, it's like you have to play through so much. Like, the majority of the stuff that you're doing is the same across all classes, and I just don't want to kill 10 Womp Rats again.
Right.
Right? Like, the stuff that you have to do as part of the class story is interesting and cool, and if I could play through it again and just do that stuff, I would gladly play every class, and I would gladly pay them for the amount of time that it took.
Have you killed
Womp Rats? Do you feel like they have a dearth of
what
content?
What does a Womp Rat look like?
They're
or
like
do
little...
You feel like? Like, do they just need more stuff to make it more compelling, or do they need like a different model?
Well, I mean, I think their idea was that what you would like, the reason that they didn't have a really serious and well put together end game is A, because, you know, that was like the last thing that they did and they released before it was ready, and B, their idea is that, well, the leveling process here is so compelling that people will want to level a bunch of alts. And I do want to. I want to play a bunch of alts, but I don't want to level them. I want to just see the unique content associated with them. But because that is gated behind so much shit I've already done, that
but
I just don't want
stuff
to do
that
again right now.
Done. Couldn't you choose different like conversation options and stuff?
I mean, in the stuff that is not part of your class quest, the conversations are basically irrelevant.
But thou must, kind of stuff.
It is all just like, oh man, there's a really serious reason that I need you to kill 10 Womp Rats. You know, here's this story, and it all reads like the guy who just wants a dollar, but he's got this story about how he needs $14 total to get a bus ticket for his sick wife who's over there in the car. I can go get her if you want to see how sick she is. She's puking everywhere, man. And it's like, you know what, I don't care about your, like, what you want is a dollar, and I, you know, maybe you want to buy some booze, maybe you want to buy some food, maybe you actually do want to buy a bus ticket, but like, you know, I don't,
I don't want to hear this long-ass story that you made up. Yeah. And it was a lot of just... The Star Wars stuff is just really thin justifications for what I want is for you to go play this MMO for a while. You know? And if... I think that is a game where... And I wouldn't do this in a lot of other stuff. I mean, although that said, like, I never played World of Warcraft outside of rest experience because I just felt like... It felt like a punishment to not, you know? And also, that system was in place when I don't think that you could level to the cap in World of Warcraft without doing a bunch of grinding, right? There weren't enough quests to actually level you.
At the very beginning, yeah, I think that was the case.
But yeah, I mean, if I could see all of the content that I haven't seen in Star Wars The Old Republic, I would definitely keep playing it. And I don't know if that's a thing that they're going to offer or not. Towards the very end of the beta, they did a triple experience build, and it was great. Like, because you just, like, I could just play this class only doing the story missions, and it was like, wow, this is fucking fantastic to just, like, be running around getting new abilities really quickly because you're leveling up fast, and also just not having to do any of the stuff that I've already done for a third time because I, you know, just kept starting new dudes. Yeah, I mean, I think it could be pretty good for them. It sucks that they fired everybody already. You know, but I mean, I think they had to go into their investors call saying, like, all right, so we're not doing nearly as well as we hoped we would, and this is what we've got. We've got switch to free-to-play, which, look at these graphs of what happened to these other games when they switched to free-to-play. Oh, and also we laid off 2/3 of our staff, so that's a lot of savings.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think the timing of that was definitely not a coincidence. But, yeah, I mean, it, you know, it... A lot of people are just sort of saying, and they're probably right, that you just can't... You can't set out to spend a bunch of millions of dollars making something that you are... Your goal is to have it be the next World of Warcraft, right? Because there isn't going to be a next World of Warcraft. Like, yeah. The way that WoW has evolved has made it so you can't start with what WoW had and move forward anymore.
You would have to have started 6 years ago. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, they—that's what they did, though, right? But they started 6 years ago. They ended up with something that was like vanilla WoW.
You would have had to have launched 6 years ago, is what I mean.
But because every time WoW adds a bunch of content at the end of the game and increases the level cap, they retune the progression through the early stuff to make it take the same amount of time to get through it. You get so much more shit per hour in World of Warcraft than another game can give you without either burning through it super fast, which I don't think that it is completely out of line when I estimate that it took probably 5 times as long to hit the level cap in vanilla WoW as it did to hit the level cap in Star Wars The Old Republic. And I kind of have to imagine that that has a lot to do with the retention issues that they're having, because you just chew through it and then you're done and you're like, all right, well, what the fuck do I do now at the end cap, the level cap? There's nothing here to do. And you're not ready to go back through that stuff again because you did it 2 weeks ago, right? It's not like with WoW, you maybe start a new character if you don't want to raid or whatever. And you're like, oh, I remember this. This is the shit that I was playing like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But from a different side, and or, you know, or you like start a new class on the other faction or whatever, which I guess you could do in the Old Republic. But I think nobody is going to put up with that slow rate of progression that vanilla WoW had, the content density that it had, even though it was great at the time. You know, it was like this or EverQuest, which EverQuest was way worse. But like, you know, EverQuest 2 demonstrated that you can't even really do that again, right? The world changes, and you. Like, you just can't go back from what WoW has become, and it became itself by being around for a really, really long time and having a lot of developer resources and time and money thrown at it.
But you're excited about a secret world, right? Like,
but it is extremely niche, right? They are not trying with the secret world to make a competitor to WoW. They know that that's not going to happen.
But like, why do you say that? Why do you say it's niche? Just because it's not fantasy or sci-fi?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think thematically it is not a thing that has as broad an appeal as fantasy or sci-fi. I mean, I think it's niche because it requires you to actually do some thinking to get through stuff. And I think it is just never going to have that broad of an audience. I mean, it's niche in that it has a really sort of experimental leveling structure that is confusing and really requires you to do some work, and it does not give you a tremendous amount of direction in what you're supposed to do, which it's like very much just an entirely different direction game-wise than what all the major players are trying to do, because they're willing to take risks, because they're not, they don't have people who are going to be pissed if they don't have 9 million subscribers next year, right? They have people who are going to be thrilled if they have 300,000 subscribers.
I wonder what Titan is going to be like.
Yeah.
Because presumably the Blizzard guys are aware of these issues. I wonder what they've come up with to deal with that.
Yeah, maybe it'll just never come up.
I keep seeing, like, posts by friends at Blizzard that are like, I can't say what I just saw, but it was awesome, right? And I don't know if that's Titan or if that's just something unrelated or whatever, but...
It's like Mike Morhaime just took this super awesome dump and he made everybody come in to look at it. But he said we couldn't tell.
But like...
Oh, that was so funny that we dropped the call.
Yeah. Anyway, we were talking about Mike Morhaime's sweet, sweet dumps.
Deuce.
What else is new?
They announced the release date for Bioshock Infinite. It's going to be February 26th of 2013.
Yep.
So that's I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know if I'll actually play it anytime, like shortly after it comes out or whatever. But it looked, the trailers are freaking awesome for that
thing. I had to stop looking. I had to stop watching the trailers and stuff because they looked so awesome, and I didn't want anything to get spoiled.
The idea of the like cooperative gameplay, like you and like either another player or a like sort of AI computer thing where you're doing a bunch of like combinations of psi abilities or whatever to defeat various challenges is kind of super awesome seeming. Like, I don't know how it's going to play out in the actual game, but it
felt in the original Bioshock like there was a lot of possibilities there in terms of like you having multiple things that you were using to kill stuff, but then you ended up just doing the same thing to almost everybody in the entire game.
Yeah,
that's true. But I feel like a lot of people, like, if, but
you didn't necessarily do the same thing that I did, exactly. Right, which, you know, which is fine, but yeah, I don't know, picking the best one and only letting you do that, you know, like Asteroids was a really good game and you only had one gun.
Yeah, but we didn't know any better back then.
And I didn't play that for hundreds of hours, right? You know, I'd play it for a single-digit number of hours, maybe, before I kind of got bored with it. Although, maybe when I was a kid, you know, maybe I would have played that for hundreds of hours. I didn't know any better.
Yeah, I probably played hundreds of hours of Jungle Hunt on the Atari. Mm. Even though it's like, at the end, you just jump over that cannibal and then there's a girl in a pot. You win. Now you get to eat the girl.
Delicious.
Tell us about these extraordinary software association gamer demographics. You're looking at 2 weeks ago's notes. Yeah,
no wonder I'm confused.
There
we go.
There were just like some demographics that came out about like sort of the average population of gamers from. I don't know, like sales data and surveys from 2011. Apparently the average gamer is 30 years old. And it's relatively evenly spread out between different age demographics. Like 32% are below 18, 31% are 18 to 35, and 37% are 36 or older.
That's actually skewed a bit... younger than it was last time. Last year I heard like last year's was like 17% under 18s.
That seems strange.
Yeah,
I feel like under 18 year olds play a lot of games. I was actually surprised how many people were over, like, you know, 35 or whatever. It seems like a pretty high percentage of people are.
I don't know.
Gamers.
I mean, that's right around our age, and we're the kids that grew up with like Nintendo and Atari and stuff.
Sure.
So
sure.
All that is necessary for that to happen is for people to not stop.
I mean, maybe it's because all of the gamers with AIDS are living longer. I read a statistic that said that more than half of the people with AIDS are over 50, now as a, like, this is why, like, is AIDS is not a big deal anymore. So just, like, go fuck whatever.
Huh.
That was what they said. That was what C. Everett Koop told me.
Oh, nice.
He was like, yeah, AIDS doesn't matter. Just go fuck whatever you want.
The average age of people who buy games is 35, and of those, 52% are male and 48% are female, which is pretty close to the percentage of the gender breakdown of gamers. It's almost 50-50 at this point, which is pretty surprising to me as well.
But all the women are playing My Little Pony Friendship Adventure, and all the men are playing Murder Grenade.
So, My Little Pony Friendship Adventure is a good game. Make fun of it.
The top four selling games of 2011 are pretty diverse, actually. So the first one is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. So, like, first-person shooter, you know, action warfare kind of thing. But the second most popular game for the entire year was Just Dance 3, which is like that Wii, like, dancing game.
Right.
And then Madden NFL 13, and then Skyrim. Like, that is a pretty diverse selection for a top four list, I think.
I mean, that seems like a pretty straight, like, demographic breakdown. I mean,
I don't know. Like, here's the question. Like, why are there not, like, four games? Why are the top four games not all first-person shooters if that's the most popular genre?
I mean, Skyrim is kind of a first-person shooter.
Kind of, but it's...
You shoot an arrow.
It's an RPG with magic and dragons, and the other one is, like, such a literal shooter.
Well, I mean, but guns are a kind of magic, right? If you're shooting, like... If you're shooting, like, hapless native populations, as far as they're concerned, it's magic, and you're a dragon.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of perspective. And also, I heard that Just Dance 3 is mostly about shooting dragons. Like, you shoot your arm out as a dance move.
I see. Oh, okay. I feel like you might be chasing dragons, but I don't know if you're shooting them. If you exclude console sales, the top-selling game of 2011 was actually Star Wars The Old Republic, which isn't even in the top four for overall sales.
So yeah, and like, I'm sure a lot of ladies bought that. Ladies love Siths.
Yeah.
Cool J. This is my Sith Lord, Cool J.
Darth J. So
apparently Steam also changed its terms of service recently. Valve is, like, concerned about class action lawsuits or something like that. So apparently in the new terms of service to Steam, they say you cannot join a class action lawsuit against them, which is probably not an enforceable constraint. I don't think you can actually forfeit your right to sue somebody ever.
I don't think you're forfeiting your right to sue somebody. I think they're just saying that if you are in a class action lawsuit against them, then they can make you stop using.
I think that's probably also illegal, right? Like, I don't think you can stop providing a service to somebody just because they are suing you if they're continuing to pay you.
Why couldn't you stop providing a service to somebody for any reason at all? I mean, I guess it's a little weird because Steam is, like, they have a lot of, they're the gatekeepers for a lot of stuff that you've paid for.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like if they tried to prevent you from using their service... Just on that basis, I think you probably could sue them individually or as a class action.
You're already suing. I mean, like, I feel like if you're in the middle of suing Safeway, isn't Safeway within their rights to say you're not allowed to shop at Safeway?
I don't know that they are, actually. Right? It's not clear to me that that's something that you're allowed to do.
Why can they refuse you access for not wearing a shirt then, right? I mean, it seems equally arbitrary. I mean, I feel like this is like one of those things where it's like, yeah, you can't stop people from suing, but you can certainly, I mean, like, Steam can ban you for calling people names, right? So why couldn't they ban you for suing them?
I don't know. I think it would be an interesting court case if they tried to do that. Based on the EULA or the terms of service, or whatever, which the question is, like, whether that's actually enforceable or not. Because I don't think that you are allowed to sign away your rights of any kind to sue somebody. That's my understanding, at least.
The bit that I thought was interesting that I don't think is being well reported in this is that the first of all, the reasoning that they gave for this is pretty sound. It's just the fact that class action lawsuits don't benefit anybody except for the lawyers that run them.
Yeah, like this was actually something that I wanted to bring up was, I don't know if you guys got the email from the Netflix class action lawsuit.
Uh-uh.
So, I don't know if this is, I assume this is a real thing, because it jives with something that I had read about, where some people were pissed about their like, $1 million prize, because people were able to actually reverse engineer their taste profiles from the data, or something. But there's apparently a class action lawsuit against Netflix, where Netflix is required to pay $9 million into a settlement fund, $2.25 million of which goes to the fucking lawyers, and most of it just goes to paying settlement and administration fees and some donations to charity. Like, very little goes to any of the people that actually, like, arrange
the people will lawsuit. Get, like, a check for $1.50 or something.
Yeah.
And what Valve is doing, they're not just straight up saying, you know, no, whatever. They're saying that if you have a problem with us, then we want to do it through like binding arbitration, and they're offering to pay for the arbitration services regardless of which side wins.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've always heard though that requiring like signing like an employment contract that insists on arbitration instead of allowing you to sue them is like a evil corporate tool of control, because they get to choose the arbiters.
I mean, they did choose the arbiter, but from what I read, it was they're a well-known and well-respected nonprofit arbitration organization or something. I don't remember the name of it.
We could also just maybe not sue Valve. Maybe nobody sues Valve unless they actually do something.
Yeah.
I kind of want to opt out of this Netflix class action lawsuit because I am so on Netflix's side. This is such a bullshit issue.
Yeah.
What was the actual issue? I didn't exactly understand it from what you said.
Well, so do you remember the $1 million like Netflix prize that they had?
Yeah.
Where they released a bunch of data which they claimed was
anonymous.
Anonymous, yeah. And somehow some people were able to reverse engineer like taste preferences. This is what I don't quite understand, is like, I understand how you could maybe reverse engineer a particular user's taste profiles or whatever, but how that would link back to an actual person, I don't think makes any sense at all. Like, because there was never any like personal information in there. So yeah, I don't exactly understand that last step of it, but people got up in arms about it, and of course, you know, filed a lawsuit. So it's just super, super aggravating.
Don't you have to opt in to class action suits? I always thought that you
did. No. This apparently you have to opt out. If you do not opt out, you are just assumed to have been to be in the class. Which has happened in a couple. There was an Apple class action lawsuit that I just didn't do anything about, that I apparently opted into and stuff. So yeah, I mean, they might be all structured differently for all I know, but I think the whole point is the lawyers want to claim that there are millions of wronged people that they are representing, which justifies their millions of dollars of fees.
Well, they went to law school.
Yeah.
They gotta get something.
I mean, I feel
Zynga.
Like, yeah,
they gotta like get could, Zynga.
If you can't make money being a lawyer, you should try to work for Zynga, because they apparently did some yet more shady crap.
Yeah.
So their stock
price
was dropping, and so they had another offering of shares, which they had above their current share offering, which I don't understand how they actually managed to sell those. Like shares were trading for like $10 each, and they managed to have like another several million dollar share release at $12 of a share. But they did, they sold a bunch of shares, almost half a billion dollars worth of shares. It was like a bunch of the top executives and a bunch of the investors sold a bunch of shares with just within this past quarter, and the stock prices dropped to like $3 a share or something like that at this point. And it while it may not technically be insider trading, it sure sort of smells like it.
Because it was like their stock tanked, and then it turned out that a whole bunch of CEOs and other people had ditched a ton of stock like a month before it happened.
Yes.
Yeah. It was pretty shady.
Yeah. So I don't know if there'll be any actual legal fallout from this, but
I heard that there's a class action suit, actually.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean,
we should join it. We played Castleville under fake assumed names.
The CEO, you know, has openly talked about how the whole point of Zynga is to make money. So it doesn't surprise me at all that that would translate both from a company perspective into an individual perspective. But like,
they're migrating their focus to online gambling.
Yep.
They're making plenty of money in online gambling, you know, so that would not surprise me.
Well, but they don't do any real money at gambling at this point. I mean, that's what they're expanding into.
They fired their main guy that knew about game design instead of just money-making design.
Wait, which guy was that?
I don't know anybody's name.
Like, literally anybody's, even your parents.
Riff, your name is Riff.
People.
They found you on the side of the road, and they were like, who are you?
Riff? Sure.
You just read your own driver's license, though, no?
Yeah.
Which it does not say Riff, you liar. All right, cool. That was the news. So this assignment, Archon.
Woo!
So I played the NES version of Archon for about a half an hour today, but I think that was enough.
I played two games of the DOS version and got my shit stomped out.
Yeah, I also got my shit stomped out. You guys got to see this, speaking of which. This is like a Morhaime scale.
I played two games. I lost the first one and beat the computer on the second one, but it was tricky. That computer is a tricky opponent.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised that you won one, but damn, man.
Well,
I don't think I even won a single one of the mini battles.
You didn't win any of the mini battles?
Okay, sure.
I eventually started winning a few of the mini battles, but like, I don't know. While it intrigues me, the idea of just like a sort of a strategy game where the battles are played out in a real-time duel video game, I feel as though the real-time duel video game is kind of garbage in this particular case.
Well, so and were you guys playing, like trying to make sure that you played when the environment was in your favor?
Well, I mean, I know that the white team is more powerful on white squares or whatever, and supposedly the color of the squares changes over time.
Some of them, like half the board changes, half the board is static.
I see. But yeah, I felt like so often in the port that I played, at least, I was dead before I realized that it had started accepting input.
Yeah, I was
that
you hit space a lot, and a lot of times nothing happens. And
yeah, there's a cooldown on the shots that isn't indicated.
Yeah,
and well, there's
an audio indication when it's recharged.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
There's a little beep when you can fire again.
Maybe I did not notice that. I also had a really hard time telling, like, it seemed like sometimes your shots could go through things in the environment and sometimes they couldn't. And
well, that depended on them. That was you had mentioned, like, in that video game where you were playing with the walls that sometimes you could shoot through but the opponent couldn't and vice versa. Which basically it's like your shots can go through the darker environmental things and the, like, well, so if you're playing black, your your shots can go through the darker ones, and their shots can go through the lighter ones, and both get stopped by the middle.
Generally, what happen to me is the enemy playing black would fly one of those friggin' banshees into my rank of dudes, and it has that aura attack that just obliterated my dudes, and they just go right up the column and just kill every one of my guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like for the most part, I lost the game. I didn't really understand what the end state of the game was. All of my dudes got killed except for my wizard, and then I was like, all right, well, I guess I need to leave here so that my wizard can go kill this other lady. And I got near her, and she cast Imprison on me, and the game ended.
Well, if the computer, whoever controls all five of the magic squares wins.
Well, they did not control all five of the magic squares. There were only four of them left.
Oh, I guess if you can't take a move, that probably
if you can't
also
move,
ends the game.
Then the game ends. Yeah, so yeah, but I mean they killed most of my dudes with like one of their units. I had to switch to the NES port of it because the CGA PC version was just, it was so difficult to tell what was going on because the graphics were so crude.
Hmm. Really? Huh.
Yeah, it was like...
I just played the CGA version in DOSBox, and I thought it worked pretty well. I slowed it down a little bit from the like crazy fast that the computer was able to move, and I think that helped a little bit, but I didn't slow down too much.
Hmm. There's an iPhone and iPad version of it that look like the graphics are pretty good.
And there's apparently a Steam remake
tried
of it,
though.
Which might be pretty cool, like modern graphics and like more in-depth gameplay or whatever.
It gets much more in-depth, and it's basically just like Warcraft, right? I mean,
war chess.
I really wanted to play a version of it against another human because I feel like that's where it becomes a real game. Like playing against a computer is kind of meaningless, but I feel like playing against another person, there's a lot of stuff going on. You find out whether or not they're good at the close combat versus the ranged combat dudes.
Yeah. We should have done some net play on Nesticle.
Oh.
And then we could play all the way through Life Force also. Mm. Blow up the alien brain.
Life Force is a good game.
Yeah,
that is a good game.
Unlike Archon. I don't know that I think Archon was a bad game. I found a scan of one of the original instruction manuals for it, and it is like 40 pages of densely packed text.
Why?
I don't know, man. Tips and strategies and... Like, I read a bunch of stuff about it, and it was like, you know, the colors of the boards will slowly shift from white to black over time, and you can... Like, one time I cast that reverse time spell, and then the opponent instantly followed that up by casting the reverse time spell, and it seems like since each of you have exactly one charge of that, that is the only thing that will ever happen when you cast that spell.
I'm sure.
Well, because I mean, you know, like it just, it's like, oh, okay, I don't want him to have. I mean, I guess if you don't do that, you get an extra move if you think that your extra move will give you more of an advantage than whatever reversing time does. I never noticed any of the squares changing their composition.
Huh. I mean, it's like, hard for me to comment because you were playing on the NES version, but the PC version, they pretty obviously, like half the squares pretty obviously change from light to dark and back again. So. All three of the magic squares in the middle are on variable squares, and it's sort of the bunch of diagonals.
Maybe something like the plus through the center of the board that contained all of those magic squares never changed colors ever.
Huh.
And they were all the same color, which was like no color relative to the black and white squares. Yeah, maybe there were some changes in the NES version, but like when you said you can shoot through the lighter colored obstacles. There weren't, some of the obstacles were like fire, and some of the obstacles were like these little monster heads that seemed like they maybe popped in and out of the ground, and I thought maybe that was what was allowing the shots to go through them, but like, maybe not, I guess.
Weird.
I should have tried to find the manual for the NES version, I guess.
Yeah, because
I really
like
the idea of this game, and
yeah,
I always
conceptually,
did.
Conceptually, it's fantastic.
But
I think I mentioned once that I devised and nearly made a... similar actual board game, but got bogged down in picking out and ordering lead miniatures for the pieces.
I think that, like, Archon, when you are a kid who likes playing chess but wish that chess had wizards and dragons and shit in it because you're not, you don't have a sophisticated enough appreciation of games to understand why chess is good, this is the kind of thing that you think would be really cool. But you're wrong then, and I think you're wrong now, because this game sucks.
Dang.
I really liked it as a kid, and I was reminded of it. Like, I wasn't like, man, I want to keep playing this. I did kind of wish I could play it versus another human to get more of a real sense of it, but...
Yeah, that would be fun. Maybe in between Rampart tournaments... Maybe I can find an arcade cabinet of Archon, or I can find we can find the Atari 2600 port of Archon. Play it on one of my Ataris. So I don't have a lot else to say about that.
Yeah, me neither.
What should we do next
now?
Week?
Now I understand more about what Archon is about, and I'm not particularly interested in it. Next week, we've decided that we are going to play Vampire: The Masquerade Bloodlines, an indie game about vampires. well, I think you can buy it from Steam for like $20, making it, I think, according to Kevin, our most expensive assignment ever.
Yep.
I don't know.
I already own a copy, but I'm probably just going to buy it on Steam rather than finding my disc. Because the version on, I wonder if the version on Steam includes the fan patch.
I have heard that the fan patch
is the way to play it because it actually finishes and unlocks a bunch of content that was on the disc but incomplete. I'm going to look into that and I'll post details to the Video Games Hot Dog forums. I'm stoked. I played a lot of the way through this game when it came out, but I am interested to see what you guys think about it. I would suggest that if you've never played it before, that you play Malkavian because their dialogue is awesome. I'm going to try it as a different one. Maybe I'll be a Ventru. What are the other guys? What are the bestial ones? The Bruja?
Bruja are the punk rocker ones. Yeah, I guess they're the bestial ones.
No, I'm thinking of the gangrenes.
Yeah, gangrels. Yeah,
the gangrels are the ones that are like more like werewolves.
Yeah.
Right? And then the Ventru are the like blue blood.
Yeah.
They only drink the blue blood.
Toreador are the artsy ones.
Tremere,
yeah, those are the businessy ones.
I don't think you can be a Lucrata.
A what?
Lucretia. No. What are the gross ones? The Nosferatu.
Oh, Nosferatu. Nosferatu.
Yeah, there was a Nosferatu character in Jihad, the Eternal Struggle, called Lucretia something. A Lucrata is like a leprechaun or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
What are the different races of leprechaun? Do you think there's like a bunch of different warring leprechaun clans battling for control over the pot of gold?
Yeah, probably.
A lot of political machinations.
I can imagine there's, you know, I mean, there were different like Celtic clans and stuff. So that probably translates through to the leprechauns.
They have extremely different ideas about what shape hat they should wear.
Yeah. What side they break their hard-boiled eggs on.
Do leprechauns eat a lot of hard-boiled eggs?
Sure.
Do they eat regular chicken eggs? That'd be really big.
Oh, that's true.
That'd be like really, like a lot of cholesterol for a little dude.
They eat like...
A robin's egg.
Yeah, a robin's egg. Hummingbird eggs.
They only eat spider eggs. But they're the right size.
How tall do you think a leprechaun is?
Do you suppose that they really like it? One of their delicacies and like... You know, like that thing you get in China where it's got the entire duck fetus inside the egg that you're eating, where they eat spider eggs at just the right moment where the spiders are almost ready to hatch. Oh. So when you bite into them, your mouth just fills up with a million tiny wriggling spiders. I bet that's a thing that would be really exciting for a leprechaun.
That is the worst thing.
All right, well... Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. Yeah, we will see you in there. Now. Or we would if it were a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see you on Steam and it will say Lycra Shampoo is now playing Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
It's a Windows only game as far as I know. So
yeah, well, if you got a Mac, figure out some way to run Windows like a man.
Yeah. It theoretically will run on Crossover, so I'll see if I can get that to work.
The Crossing Over would
John Edwards.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Jim Edwards? What's that guy's name?
John Edwards.
Okay. Hey, Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a listener mail for the listener mail segment that we always skip, how would they do it?
They could tweet us at VGHotDog. They could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com, or they could forums us, videogameshotdog.com.
Okay.
How's
yeah,
that
that's
sound?
It. Yeah. That's pretty good. That was pretty concise. Next week, I promise, listeners mail. By the time this comes out, I think we're releasing 3 episodes of Video Games Hot Dog this week. So there is going to be, this is like putting a fire hose in your mouth and then turning on the valve.
And it's instead full of hot dogs.
Instead of water, it's full of spiders.
Oh,
oh. Oh man. No. Imagine if you had a spider hose and you're like, hey, could you water my plants for me? Oh, be really careful though, because the spider hose is right next to the regular hose and they're plant-eating spiders. I'm not sure why the original owners of this place even installed that tap. It's a hot and cold running
app.
Spiders. Yeah.
Did you say tap or app?
Tap.
Oh, okay, I thought you were like trying to bridge the gap between houses and smartphones.
Yeah, so I live in my phone. Oh, okay. And the plants that I'm talking about are my Farmville plants. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Do, 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 do. I'll do a little song here. Oh, great.